black are gold pants, 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 black are gold pants.
What the? That's Blackheart Gold Pants Wrestling Podcast music.
Episode 19 of Blackheart Gold Podcast, and yes, it took us 19 episodes, but we finally are doing a wrestling episode. Joined tonight, not by Oops Pal, but by Blackheart Gold Pants Wrestling Correspondent Ross WB. Ross, what's going on tonight?
Not too much.
Welcome to the show, as always.
Basking in the glow of our national duels triumph, I guess.
Yes, the impetus behind this week's show. And joining us is the Press Citizen's own Andy Hamilton, who, among other things, covers Iowa wrestling. Andy, thanks for joining us. How are you?
Good. How about you guys?
Great. We're. I guess we could probably start by talking about the national duels, which Andy attended and which we watched on television. Andy, clearly a pretty dominating performance by Iowa right up until the finals and even through the final duel against Iowa State. Is there anybody really kind of left in the country who's going to be challenging Iowa this year, do you think?
You know, the tournament setting is a little bit different than the duel setting, but, you know, if Iowa gets everything together, gets everybody back and healthy, yeah, I can't see anybody touching this team. If they get on track and they're getting closer to being healthy, I mean, I really thought if anybody was going to get Iowa that this was their best chance this past weekend, and nobody really came close from a score standpoint. I mean, you know, you turn around some of those close matches against Iowa State, but, you know, that being said, you know, that was their opportunity. That they're not going to get a better opportunity than they did Sunday to beat Iowa, and they still couldn't do it.
So all four of the guys that were missing that are, you know, starters, Erickson, Dennis, or I guess 141 is a little unclear, but, and Beatty, all of them, but Beatty should be back pretty soon, right?
Well, Beatty's going to be a little bit longer. I mean, he's still in a cast.
Right.
It's going to be 3 weeks before he gets out of a cast, and it, you know, it might be until Big Ten's before he's back. Erickson was wrestling live in practice today, and he's good to go for this weekend. He's going to wrestle probably at the Brand Open in Omaha to knock a little rust off and get a little bit back into match shape. Dennis, I think, is questionable for whether he'll be back this weekend or next, but he's on track. You know, the Slayton situation is still up in the air. That you know, he's still kind of in academic limbo whether he'll be back, you know, this semester or not. So you take those
right.
Four guys, though, that's an incredible amount of firepower that this team could be getting back by the end of the season.
Yeah.
I mean, you take those four guys home and you could take them to the national tournament and probably place in the top 10 with just those four guys, if those guys are right and on top of their game, which is staggering that, you know, that Iowa could win the national duels with that much firepower on the side. I mean, I was thinking about it in the other day. In the 11 years that I've covered the wrestling beat, I don't know that there's been a greater team feat that Iowa has had in those 11 seasons than to win the national duels with those kind of credentials, you know, sitting on the side. It's just a phenomenal testament to the amount of depth that they've accumulated.
Yeah. Who impressed you most by, you know, it's kind of stepping in and replacing those guys during the national duel? There are a lot of different guys kind of cycling in some of those spots, it looked like, so.
Yeah, Nate Moore is certainly capable of winning some of the matches he lost the other day. And you know, you lose a guy like Daniel Dennis, who was number one for a month last year. And most teams, that would be a crippling blow. And Iowa, you know, plugs in a guy that's a two-time junior national champion, which, you know, there weren't many of those walking around the building the other day in the Unidome. But Nate is certainly capable of more than just going 2-2. I mean, he was in the match and could have probably should have beaten Hochstrasser from Boise State, who's ranked third in the country. And you know, right there at the end, he's got a chance to tie the match against Fanthorpe, and he just, you know, you can't finish a deep shot that he probably should have finished, and then he probably finishes on most guys. But You know, he's right there. And then, you know, they got 141 pounders coming out their ears in that room with Slayton and Marion and LeClaire. And, you know, I think they're going to have somebody on the stand at, on the medal stand at Nationals. It's just a matter of who it is. And, and then you look at, Lofthouse, you know, he's got a ways to go on finishing shots and things like that. I mean, in the Boise State match, he had 9 single legs probably up in the air and didn't finish any of them. And, but that being said, you know, he hung in there and fought against Varner. And, you know, I really thought that match was going to be a little bit uglier than it was. So,
bonus yeah, back to Varner, I thought was pretty big.
Yeah, you know, and at that point, you're kind of going to wonder what's going through Varner's head because, you know, you're wrestling Iowa's second string guy and, you know, you ride him for 3 minutes or whatever it was you rode him for and the win's like 7-1. I mean, if you're going to win the Hodge, you got to beat somebody's backup, you know, you got a major tech or pins, you know, somebody's backup.
Right. You think if Slayton ever gets out of academic limbo that he will be the guy at 141?
Yeah, I do. I think he's established himself as the best guy in that room. You know, the match against Marion at Midlands was fairly convincing. You know, I think that Montel has improved tremendously since the end of last year, but, and there was a question in my head going into Midlands who the best guy was, whether it was him or Montel. And, you know, the thing about Slayton is he's a proven gamer, and the higher the stakes, the better he wrestled. And, you know, you look at his situation, he hadn't wrestled a competitive match in a month and a half prior to Midlands. You know, there's some rust there, I'm sure, and really hasn't wrestled that much in the last 2 years. But to go and place third the way he did, and you know, he's right there with Jimmy Kennedy. Probably could have won that match that he lost 6-5, and then to beat a guy like Lou Ruggiero from Hofstra 9-0. I think it was 9-0. Is a very impressive win for him going forward. So. If he gets everything cleared up, I think he's the guy, and I think he's a guy that could be a force to be reckoned with for the rest of the country. I mean, I think you look at him as a guy that is right there with anybody. I mean, Reese Humphrey was ranked number one going into the weekend, and you look back to the matches that they've wrestled in the past, and Slayton has throttled him pretty good twice.
Yeah. So if he remains in limbo, though, do they just keep flipping back and forth between LeClaire and Marion, or do they kind of make a decision on one of those guys?
Well, I think ideally Tom wants to see somebody take it and run with it and not make it a choice. You know, I think if Montel goes out and takes care of business against Mike Thorne instead of getting pinned in 22 seconds, then I think he gets himself another match on Sunday. You know, I think that was kind of a little bit of a matchup play too, where LeClaire's style probably matches up a little bit better against Dalton Jensen, who is dangerous in a couple positions. And but, you know, going forward, if one guy gets on the mat and doesn't lose again, I mean, if he keeps getting his hand raised every time out, he's going to make it hard for brands to, you know, want to have a wrestle-off over, you know, to put it in the hands of a wrestle-off. Because essentially Montel has won two of them already, so I think, you know, he's got the upper hand over LeClaire, but if he doesn't get it done in competition, then he leaves it in Tom's hands to have to make a choice.
And the other position that's pretty crazy is 157. Do you think that's settling down now finally? Or?
Well, it's kind of the same thing where Jansen did a good job before Christmas and winning a couple good matches there against Iowa State and UNI, and then he goes to Midlands and doesn't place, and I think his weight was out of control a little bit and didn't have a very good showing to where, you know, there's the temptation there to pull St. John out of his red shirt. And, you know, ideally they'd like to get through the year without having to do that. And I think they ultimately will. But, you know, Jansen to this point has established himself as the best of the three guys who aren't redshirting out of him and Kerr and Ballwig. And, you know, but, he definitely has to keep his foot on the pedal up because, you got a star freshman there who's probably capable of, you know, he's certainly capable of being an All-American this year, but, you know, the thing is they don't want to use him if they don't have to because, you know, he shows glimpses where he's on sometimes and he's off others. And, since Tom is taking over the program, the mantra of the program has been individual national titles, individual championships, and, ultimately they're trying to do what's best for the individual, and then secondary is what's best for the team. So, what's best for St. John is probably to continue to train and get himself in position where he's not hot and cold, but he's hot all the time, and he's a viable national title threat instead of a guy that you think might be an All-American this year.
Right. I guess the other news, such as it is coming out of national duels, was the controversy about Metcalf and after his match. And did you happen to see that or have any thoughts about that?
I was completely blocked. We had to sit on the side opposite of the benches, so I didn't see anything. I know that there was some jawing back and forth, and it's typical of an Iowa State meet. I mean, it's wrestling. It's heated competitors in the heat of battle. And you're talking about two programs that don't like each other. And so you put them right next to each other, the benches like they are, and something's going to happen. I mean, there's going to be arguments. There's going to be confrontation. There's going to be, stuff like that happens. It's wrestling. I mean, it's not. Yeah. We're not talking about women's tennis or golf or anything like that here. I didn't see what took place. I couldn't hear what was being said, but I know it was going back and forth. I mean, it's pretty obvious from sitting on the opposite side of the mat that it was going back and forth. And I guess if they thought it was a big deal or anything like that, I think going forward they ought to put the teams on the opposite sides of the mat. That's one way of solving it rather than putting them right next to each other. But, stuff like that happens every year at the national duels. Teams get into it, and there was, almost a little bit of a confrontation last year between Iowa and Minnesota and Iowa in Cornell. And, I'm sure it happens in other duels as well. But, it just happens when you're having teams that are that close to each other, sitting that close to each other.
Now, Andy, this coming week, Iowa takes on Oklahoma State on Saturday. Looks like Oklahoma State's undefeated at this point. They did tie once, but they've won eight duels. What should we be looking for from that duel?
I think it should be tremendous atmosphere, for one. Tom made the point to the team this year this afternoon, that they haven't beaten Oklahoma State and Carver since 2000. And you go back, and there are a lot of matches in there, or a lot of meets in there, where Iowa could have won that Oklahoma State has found a way to win. And he made the point to the guys that John Smith will have his team ready, and this is important to Oklahoma State. And you look at it, and there's some good matchups in there. It looks like a duel that's pretty close to even on paper. And 133 is going to be important if it's Dennis, against Jordan Oliver, a star freshman, or if it's Nate Moore, that's one that could go either way. Off the top of my head, 65, they got a guy in Alex Mead who's another star freshman that's beaten Dustin Schlater this year. That's a really athletic kid that Morningstar, if he keeps him in the match, that one could go either way. And then you look at some where both teams are probably clear favorites. I have some clear favorites for Iowa. Obviously 49 and 84 and 25 for Oklahoma State, 97 heavyweight. And then it becomes a battle of bonus points. Which team can get majors and pins and techs. And, if it starts at 125, I think that's a tremendous advantage for Iowa because of the amount of weight some of the Oklahoma State guys appear to be cutting in the lighter weights, and to not have that amount of recovery time, to have an hour of recovery time, I think would be huge for Iowa rather than to get it strung out and say start at 157 or 165. I think I would venture to guess that John Smith wants to draw for this duel, and that brings another element into it. But I think it'll be tremendous theater, and I wish that I wish we could see the full Iowa team. See Iowa at full strength, because I think 41 would be a tremendous battle. I think 33 would be a tremendous battle. Heavyweight was an incredible match last year at Nationals. But 97 would be intriguing, but we're not going to see those kind of matchups. We're probably not going to see most of those. So once again, it comes back to the depth of Iowa's program. And is it enough to hold off a team that matches up pretty well with them? We'll find out.
Then once that's over, it's essentially Big Ten season. And you know, so far, I think Iowa's really only seen Minnesota, who is still a top 10 program, but looks up maybe a little bit down this year. What teams in the Big Ten look to be the biggest threats to Iowa going forward?
You know, I think in a dual setting, definitely Minnesota when they put Ness and Schlager back in the lineup, they're a little bit more of a threat. You know, in a tournament setting, I think probably Ohio State is the one you're looking at because they can score a lot of points with Humphrey at 41 and Palmer at 49 and Pasillo, if he ever gets straightened out at 84, they've got some other guys in there where, Sponseller at 65 where, you know, in a low scoring tournament like last year, they only needed four or five guys to be right there, you know, essentially one match away if Morningstar doesn't beat Sponseller in the quarters, if that goes the other way, it's probably Ohio State's title. So, you know, you look at teams that have four and five guys that are ranked highly, and those are the teams that probably have the best shot. I don't see any team from the Big Ten making a serious run at Iowa in the national tournament unless Iowa comes back to the pack like the Hawks did last year where they stumbled.
Do you think the Penn State match will be great theater with Kale Sanderson coming back again, obviously?
Yeah, I think it'll be entertaining, and it'll be a lot more entertaining going in the years going forward. They, he's obviously sitting most of his redshirting guys. Quentin Wright's out. Bubba Jenkins, I guess, is leaving Penn State, and their lineup isn't as strong as it will be, next year and in the years to come. But those are going to be brawls, going forward with the amount of talent that Sanderson's bringing in. The resources at his disposal there at Penn State. But, the first go around, it's probably going to be pretty one-sided, I would guess. He's pretty much building, I think he's trying to build for next year and beyond with, sitting out Quentin Wright. They've got some good kids that are really, some really good kids that are redshirting this year. And I think he's just looking for trying to build his first championship team rather than trying to be semi-competitive or a top-10 team. I don't know if they would be quite a top-10 team this year if he had his best lineup together. But, I think he realizes that there's some work to be done out there, and maybe the best step to doing that is to take a step back for a year and then try to take a couple steps forward next year.
Now, looking at the Iowa team this year, it seems like, to me, there have been two pretty big surprises, one good, one bad, which is at 25 and 84, where McDonough's been phenomenal and Keddy has been not quite so phenomenal, if you want to put it that way. So what do you make of those two weights? And going forward, do you think McDonough can maintain what he's been doing? And is Keddy going to get back to the level we're used to seeing him at?
Starting with Keddy, if you look at his performance on Saturday and then you look at his performance on Sunday, I think he took a clear step forward. I think that I was watching his match, his first match Sunday, and I saw explosiveness that I hadn't seen out of him all year. And I think, you look back at his problems early in the year and some of that is injury related. And I've been told he's over that now. And some of it, I know Tom has mentioned that Phil was having some issues with his weight, and that goes back to the first weekend of the year where he was dealing with that a little bit. And you look at him in December, and I didn't see his matches at Midlands, but I know how he looked prior to Midlands, and his feet looked heavy. He's a guy with fast twitch muscles, and he can do some explosive stuff that other guys at that weight class can't. But he just looked like another guy out there prior to Christmas. And, Sunday he started to look like the guy of old. And, he lost the other day going to his offense, which I think is a tremendous step forward for him. I mean, Ward took him down because he got over-aggressive. That's how he tied it in regulation, and that's how he won it in overtime. It's still just, he went down swinging, and, I think they're you know, Tom really kind of called him out on Saturday after the Boise State meet, because he put his head on the mat after he was down two, rather, in the tiebreaker, rather than, you know, getting to his feet, getting his escape, and trying to, you know, trying to win with 15 seconds still on the clock. So I think there's maybe a little bit of a point there where he's feeling sorry for himself, and but I think Sunday was a step forward for him. You know, we'll see going forward if that continues. If it does, I mean, you know, you come into the year, and at least from my vantage point, I thought him and Pasillo were probably going to be the guys that were going to be 1 and 2 all season long. And now I look in the rankings today, and they're like 8 and 9. Both of them have had multiple losses. And you're talking about guys who hadn't lost going into the national tournament last year except to each other. Well, Pasillo's only loss is to Keddie. Keddie's only losses were to Herbert. So you're talking about their losses were to top three guys last year and going into the national tournament. So I think Phil can get back to that level. It's probably reassuring for Iowa fans to see that he is starting to look a little bit more like the guy of old, that the weight isn't an issue, apparently, and that he's injury free right now. So if he's feeling as good as he has all year, then I think the results are going to come with that going forward. But McDonough, yeah, absolutely. A tremendous, tremendous surprise. I know going back to the fall, I was, you know, Doug Schwab had told me that he's gonna be tough at 25. The guys aren't gonna wanna wrestle him the way he wrestles, and you know, he's tall and lanky for that weight class, and wrestles really sticky where you think you got him in a position you want, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's got you. I mean, I think the thing that's really separating him though is he just wrestles at such a pace that other guys can't handle it. And from all indications, Andrew Long is one of the hardest working guys on the Iowa State team. And it's not a matter of him not being in shape. It's just a matter of McDonough wrestling at such a pace that Long's not accustomed to wrestling like that. And you look at it the other day where, you know, I'm sitting here thinking from Long's standpoint, he's got to be wondering, you know, what in the world do I have to do to beat this guy? Because I've gotten ahead of him in two straight matches. I've ridden him, put him on his back, been, you know, had sizable leads, 3-point leads twice now, and just been unable to hold up at that pace for 7 minutes. And he's done it for 6 minutes. And but then the last minute is McDonough has just dominated it. And I think one of the things that struck me the other day was, you know, McDonough was dead in the water on that last scramble with about 45 seconds to go. I mean, there's no way I thought he was getting out of that. Or he's on his butt, he's kind of crunched up, and Long's about to run around him for a takedown that would have put him up, I think that would have put him up 2+ riding time with about 40 seconds to go. And then the next thing you know, he's kind of wiggling free from it, and Long's head is on the mat. And I think at that instant, he kind of broke him. And you know, I think Long's a tremendous wrestler, but he's 0-3 this year against McDonough, and the thing about Matt is he just does not concede any position, and the way he's wrestling, his technique, he's got a long way to go from a technique standpoint, but if he ever gets there, he's going to be even harder to beat, because he's not winning much on technique right now. He's winning a lot on heart and just, you know, forcing guys to wrestle 7 minutes of, you know, from a Norm Parker expression book, it would be 7 minutes of hell instead of 7 seconds. So, I absolutely think he can keep it going, going forward. But, you know, I'm really intrigued to see him wrestle some of the guys that are more savvy, older guys that, you know, like Angel Escobedo and Troy Nickerson, guys that have won national titles that, you know, are a little bit more polished technically. So, yeah, I'm fascinated to see how that turns out.
The last guy was not so much of a surprise because he's done it before, but Borschel seems really back to the form he was at a couple of years ago, and not last year when he was a little disappointing at times. Do you think that's just getting healthy or just getting focused?
Yeah,
or?
Healthy. It's absolutely getting healthy. I mean, he was, you know, he had the knee deal throughout the year last year. He, you know, tweaked his back like, you know, 4 days before the national tournament. Yeah, he was not going into the national tournament in tip-top shape by any stretch. And I think we're seeing a guy that, you know, I think he's a lot closer to the guy that finished third 2 years ago than he is to the guy that was, you know, that got pinned out of the national tournament last year. So, you know, he's right there with anybody. I ranked number one by Amateur Wrestling News, and he just had a phenomenal weekend to beat Dwyer and handle Nate Lee and then win beat Glasser and Duke Burke by Major. Those are guys that are competitive with almost anybody, and he's majoring them. So, that's a definite plus for the Hawks.
Do you happen to see the pictures of him with the mustache this from the summer? Any?
I've seen multiple pictures of him with a mustache. I took one last year when I was on the road trip with him, where he was. I went with him on the Penn State trip, the Michigan State Penn State trip, and Jay had. We stopped in Clarion, Pennsylvania, at a Perkins, and Jay got a milkshake, and there was whipped cream in it. And the whipped cream, I think him and Morningstar had a bet on how long the whipped cream would stay in, and it made it all the way back to Iowa City. It was pretty disgusting, that's Jay. Jay's goofy, he's competitive though. So I mean, if you're going to be goofy and competitive, you're going to challenge him to a bet like that. That's both goofy and competitive. You're probably going to lose.
Right. I think the stash is the only thing keeping him from the national title this year. So I'm hoping it comes back in March.
I don't know. I don't know if he's a superstitious guy or not, but I know that him and Dennis both shaved him off after they lost in the Big Ten tournament last year. So,
right.
I have not seen any. I think Jay was sporting it there for a while early in the year. I don't know if there's any talk of bringing those back long term, but it was certainly an interesting touch.
Well, with that, Andy, I think we'll let you go. We appreciate you coming on and discussing Iowa wrestling with us, and. Remind our readers they can catch you in the Press Citizen.
All right. Anytime, guys.